I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has unveiled his budget plan. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the story.
The president's budget includes a number of ideas that failed to advance when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, including hundreds of billions of dollars for child and elder care and universal preschool. To pay for it all, Mr. Biden would raise the corporate tax rate, impose a new wealth tax on America's richest families, and increase rates on married couples earning over $450,000 a year. The budget allows the president to contrast his plans with Republicans.
They want to cut tax for the wealthy and large corporations.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calls the Biden budget completely unserious. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is proposing her own reforms to big budget federal programs.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington.
We need to fix it.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley told an Iowa crowd she'd support reforms to Social Security and Medicare.
So the first thing you do is you change the retirement age of the young people coming up, so that we can try and have some sort of system for them.
Haley says those benefits should also be limited for the rich.
Democrats are supporting raising taxes on the wealthy. The CEO of Norfolk Southern was on Capitol Hill today testifying about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Alan Shaw apologized, saying he is deeply sorry.
We've been cooperating fully with the NTSB's investigation.
The CEO said so far there is no indication that those on board the train did anything wrong.
The preliminary report found that the Norfolk Southern crew was operating the train below the speed limit and in an approved manner.
But he said it's clear the safety mechanisms in place were not enough. He promised improvements.
I'm going to make sure they've got the right training and the right technology.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman with that report. Well wishes pouring in as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recovers at a Washington, D.C. hospital. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
A spokesperson for the Kentucky Republican says he tripped at a local hotel during a private dinner. He has been admitted to the hospital where he is receiving treatment.
The 81-year-old Republican leader suffered a concussion. A massive Russian missile barrage rained down on sections of Ukraine last night. CBS's MTS Taib is in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
The far west of the country, Lviv, which has largely been spared the kind of devastation we've seen in the east of the country. You see homes reduced to rubble. You see people having lost their lives, lying in their beds.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson with the agency's top priority.
NASA is laser focused on Mars.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just soft on the potty. Let's just muscle, so roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. A grip is always stocked. It's our potty body.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hi, this is Drew Barrymore. Do you know what my idea of the perfect night is? First, make a bunch of complicated plans, and then cancel all those plans. Instead, spend the night streaming movies and TV shows on Pluto TV for free, including my show. There are tons of live channels and even more on demand. Free to stream all you want on Pluto TV and never pay a thing. Stream now, pay never. Pluto TV.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 35, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows dip down to about 19. Cloudy skies tomorrow, chance for snow, daytime highs approaching 33. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as
good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 10th, 2023. It is 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we are going to welcome in our friends from the wildlife, Sandhill Wildlife Area. We'll get an update from Megan Weinitz. We're going to be joined by her, from thanks to our friends at Visit Wisconsin Rapids. Looking forward to that. Right now, in studio, we have actors from the Nakusa High School presentation of The Little Mermaid. This is coming up on Friday, March 17th, and Saturday, March 18th. We'll tell you how to get tickets. We're going to tell you about the show. We're even going to have some scenes for you, everybody. First, I want to introduce my talent that I have in front of me. Go ahead. We're just going to go down the line here, let you guys introduce yourself and your character. And yeah, you get the opening gig, bud.
Hi, my name's Simon, and for the music, I'll be playing King Triton.
Right on. Very cool. Thank you for being here, Simon.
My name is Ashton Wilcox, and I will be playing Sebastian the Crab.
And thank you for being here, Ashton. That's awesome.
My name is Michelle Shannon, and I will be playing Ursula for The Little Mermaid.
Excellent. Thank you for being here, Michelle.
My name is Emma Anderson, and I play Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
And Emma, thank you very much for being here. Okay. I have some different... there we go. All right. So we've got the actors. We've got the cast. I think most people out there are pretty familiar with The Little Mermaid and the plot of The Little Mermaid. Do you guys want to go over that real quick? Does anybody want to kind of lead that, or you want me to go ahead and just take that? So a little mermaid, little girl, a mermaid, she wants to become human, and... like that kind of the plot, right? He wants to become human. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to spend too much time on that. I wanted you guys to be able to do your scenes, and I don't want to give away too much either. But that is kind of the plot of it and everything. It's a fun play. It's also a really like one of those plays with a lot of roles, a lot of characters. So I imagine that you guys got a big cast that you're working with. How have you been enjoying the process? Like the art of rehearsals, getting your character, I should say auditioning, getting your character, and then the rehearsal process. And we'll go down the line here how you've been enjoying it. Now, I'll start with you, Simon.
It's been very fun just learning to get into character and like interacting with all the other cast members and figuring out how your role fits in with everybody else's. Mm. And the songs are just a great experience to kind of learn how everything works and how all the music and scenes flow together.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really enjoy being in the musical. This is my second year, and I really like being able to kind of bring these characters to life that a lot of people know so well as very popular Disney. And I guess it's so much fun being able to work with like people that I know really well, and even like new people like that have never done musical before, and being able to kind of mentor them and in the ways of musical theater and just kind of make new friends and meet new people.
Right on.
So I know me and Emma and Ashlyn and Simon probably too. I know that we were all really excited to get our parts. Like literally we were in the hallway and screaming. It was really enjoyable to get those parts, and it's just really cool to see how a musical just comes to life in the process of it. It's just really cool to see.
So. Yeah. Right on.
So this is my second year doing the musical, and last year and this year, it's a lot different, I think, because this year we have a lot more people, and this musical is a lot more well-known, so it's definitely more intimidating, I would say, just because people have an expectation, and coming into it, they already have an idea of what they're going to be seeing.
So. Yeah. So two quick notes. Longtime listeners have heard me talk about acting ad nauseum, so you guys just go ahead and put up with this for a moment. But I've been in acting since I was 7. I've been a Screen Actors Guild member since I was 2008. And I will tell you, as you're looking ahead, whether you're going to continue to act or not, you have all already gotten some of the major things that you can get from this sport, from this craft, from this field. Acting is about collaborating, and it's about working with each other, and all, you know, a good tide raises all boats, and bringing up your fellow actors, working with your fellow people. You guys all kind of touched on that a little bit. And one of the funnest things about the performing is the relationships you make, the friendships you make throughout the process. When you get to be my age and it becomes a profession and a job, some of that stuff gets thrown out. This is where you really get to enjoy that stuff. This is where you really, to me, as crazy as I am about acting and as insane as I do study it and work the craft, this is my favorite style of acting. High school acting, this type of community theater acting, it's where you really get people to not only let their guard down and their egos out the door, but you get those collaboration of chances. And to things that you've all kind of touched on a little bit, being able to help your fellow actors and raise them up. To the point of playing characters that have been known already. I have only had this a couple of times, but I played George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life a while ago, and I was very nervous about this. I was like, well, people love Jimmy Stewart. Like, I cannot be Jimmy Stewart. Spoiler alert, I can't act like Jimmy Stewart. But I know I can do me. I know I can be me. And I approached the role as if I had never seen the role before. I had never seen anybody else do it, and it went pretty well. I think that you guys already have a good taste, a good idea of how to take these characters on and how to do that, but just to kind of like give you a little more data to what you're thinking, that's a correct way to handle it. I think it's a good process to go forward with it. What have you enjoyed about your character, about playing this particular character? Simon, I'll start with you.
I think it's fun because it puts me in a role I'm not really used to, which is a father for understandable reasons, but it's a lot different, and it's also a different kind of character. I play more regal and like refined because he's a king, and shouting at people is a little fun too. I do get angry a lot in the musical, so
right.
That's what I enjoy the most about cool. being trying.
I guess what I enjoy most about being Sebastian, other than him being my favorite character since I was teeny tiny from The Little Mermaid. I guess just being able to do the little accent, I guess.
Sure.
I love the accent. He's so fun to play. Yeah. And just being able to kind of put my little own spin on such an iconic character that everyone like knows already. Cause you know, I get my like two iconic moments mm-hmm. like from Kiss the Girl and Under the Sea. Everyone kind of just knows those songs.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's being able to work with like Simon. I am the one he yells at.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm the one constantly getting yelled at. So it's really funny.
Excellent.
So I really like just like the essence of the character. So, like, Ursula was one of my favorite villains growing up, and probably third to iconic, close to Ariel and Sebastian. I just really like the sassy part of her. I really like it a lot, and I like to think that she brings a lot of body positivity into a time where it was, the princesses were not exactly, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think that's
so
very insightful.
So I like to think that it brings a lot of power into that kind of thing. So
I like
it a lot.
I like that you're taking that from this, too. That's smart. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So growing up, I loved Ariel and The Little Mermaid, and it was my favorite movie. I watched it on repeat, probably a little too much, but so being able to be Ariel, just the way that she's ditzy, but at the same time, she's going to fight for what she wants, and she's not going to give up.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's well said. Yeah. And you and my daughter, my youngest daughter, yeah, loved Little Mermaid constantly. So you guys have already touched on this a little bit, whether if you were familiar with the cartoon, the Disney, you know, classic and everything. It seems like all of you are familiar with it. And I was curious about that part of it, too, about getting to play these characters that you grew up with. It's one thing to play characters that are so well known and worrying about trying to emulate something you heard in a Disney movie or something like that, which nobody can really do. You can do your version of it. You can do your style of it. And that makes it unique and special and really what people are wanting to see. If people wanted to see the Disney version, they'd just stay at home and watch that. They want to see an original version. They want to see you guys doing these parts. So you've already got the audience on your side going into this. Then you have the fact that you all grew up with it and everything. And I think that's pretty cool that you get to play these characters now. I think that's got to be a really cool feeling. I mentioned that I've been an actor for a long time, and I've found different ways that I pick and choose for a pull from to make me a better actor and to study acting. Method acting is a very popular form of acting. So have you guys found yourselves spending a lot of time with fish tanks? Have you been around fish a lot? No, I'm kidding. I want to get out of the way and let you guys act. I want you guys to be able to do some scenes. I heard that you guys are going to do a couple scenes for us, right?
Yep.
I cannot tell you how excited I am for this. I didn't want to put you on the spot with it, but I'm really excited you guys are going to do this. So we're going to spend the second half of the interview, the rest of the interview here, kind of doing a bit of this. So I did not catch how many scenes you guys have, but if you want to go ahead and do the ones that you want, and then we'll see what time we have left, kind of take it from there, play it by ear. All right. Who wants to start?
So the first scene that we will be doing is when King Triton finds out that Ariel is in love with a human, and he pretty much storms in and ruins her life almost in a way. So that's the first one we'll be doing.
Cool.
I had to rescue the prince.
You had to.
Without me, he would have perished.
He's a human. You're a mermaid.
I can't hate him just because he's different. Perhaps you can, but it's just not in me.
Different? They catch us with their hooks. They spear us with their blades.
They're not all like that.
Have you forgotten what they did to your mother?
We don't know that for certain.
Can there be any doubt? She slips out one morning for an innocent swim and never returns.
You can't prove!
I know it in my heart, and that's enough. Murderers, all of them.
You can't blame all humans for a few wicked ones.
I won't have you build a shrine to them, worshipping their rubbish, the debris that sullies our waters.
Daddy, no!
The totems of their decadence.
Don't, please!
Never again, Ariel. Never again!
Ooh. Bravo! Yes! Yes! They're sitting down in front of me. They're not able to act together or like you guys have been rehearsing. And your voices and your tones, your intentions, right on point. Right on point. You guys got these characters down. You are ready to perform. That was fun, you two. That was fun. So what do we have next?
Next scene is kind of the aftermath. King Triton goes in, he destroys all of her human stuff, the bust she has of Prince Eric, all of her cool knickknacks, whatever that she's had. And so I come in and I comfort her.
Hmm.
Ariel.
He ruined all my things, my human stuff. If he really and truly loved me, then he'd never...
Oh, child, it's because he loves ya.
Well, he sure has a funny way of showing it. He can break every single treasure I own, but he can't break me.
Yeah, well, you might just go and break his heart.
And you, some friend you turned out to be, bringing him here to my secret place.
For your own good, child. I pray you wake up from this madness and soon you're swimming in some dangerous waters.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. Ooh, this is going to be a really good show. We haven't even got going here yet. It is already can tell this is going to be a good show. Do you guys want me to give you an action and then you can go? Would that be easier? I feel like you're kind of hanging out there. Like, where do we go? I'll give you an action and then we can go ahead and go right to the scene. Are you two ready?
Okay. Basically, the next part is... So everyone knows the iconic song, Poor Unfortunate Souls,
mm-hmm.
and basically it's right before when Flotsam and Jetsam take Ariel into my lair.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, okay. Don't be shy, Ariel darling. It's me, your Auntie Ursula.
I shouldn't be here.
Nonsense. We're family.
Father says you're wicked and hateful.
Yes, but he says the same thing of humans, doesn't he, Schmuggums? And we both know that's not true, don't we?
Why did he banish you?
The ocean wasn't big enough for the both of us. And now he's driven you away, too.
He just doesn't understand me.
Oh, but I do, Dumpling. We're so very alike, you and I. Gals with ambition. Nothing scares a man more, does it? Now, tell dear old Auntie everything.
I'm in love with someone. A human.
Yes, this prince fellow. He's quite a catch. The answer is simple. You've got to become a human yourself.
Can you help me?
Help you? My dear sweet child, it's what I live for. To help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to.
Oh, you guys. You guys are just amazing. You guys are amazing with these voices. I want to take a moment real quick and just take a... I want to talk each one of you, because each one of you are doing something different with your voice, and I can tell that you have worked at this. How much time did that take to get those voices down, and how comfortable are you feeling with them? Simon, I'll start with you.
I tried to envision what I thought like an angry, kingly father would sound like, so... For a while, I tried to work on being like more gruff, more like quick to anger, but like more easily raising the voice, mm-hmm. raising my voice, and like trying to add some sort of like regal aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, especially for all like the scene where I'm talking to all the merfolk about this great holiday we have, and so it's just a process of trying to make sure I always keep that same tone and. Bringing out like the right feel.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy for a role like that to go angry and to go mean, and you don't. Like even in that scene I heard with you two, he's being strong and stern, but you can tell it's coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of care. That's all done in tone and inflection and with good skill. And you did that with that. That's a nice, very nice work.
So I guess. The thing I was most excited about when I learned that I had officially gotten Sebastian after our audition process, I was very excited to start working on my accent, because in my spare time, I am one of those people that loves learning like the linguistics of languages and stuff. And so I do a lot of like accents and stuff, and just for fun, just because that's just what I do. And so being able to work on like learning a new accent, like a Jamaican accent, was kind of one of the best parts about being Sebastian, because it's such a fun voice to do. He's such a fun character. And I guess being able to learn him and be able to just be a new, like learn something new is really fun. And I always really like Sebastian because, as Emma and I kind of refer to him, he's kind of the crazy kooky uncle.
Yeah.
Like he is the one who like watches over her constantly, mm-hmm. and he's just like, Don't do that.
Yeah. With an accent like that, it is really easy to go charactering, you know, mm-hmm. and stereotypical in that, and go really heavy and all this. I love that you did it with respect. You did it with an actual way like a Jamaican would say these things and stuff. And I can tell that you took some time with that. And I think that's really cool. Like, that's very insightful and very well done by you. And that's not an easy thing to balance. I've been there, and it's not an easy thing to balance. You did a nice job with that. Yours?
Well, talking about the kooky uncle, the crazy aunt, period. So it was really fun having this part, because my part in the last musical that we did, Little Woman, I played Marmee, who's like the loving mom who really just brings the family all together. And this scene is so much different from that character. Yeah. So it was just really, really fun to be able to just let all of that out, because... I like to think I'm a kind person, and I don't yell at people very often, so it's very nice to just be able to yell and get it all out. It's very nice. So.
They don't tell you very often, but it's fun to play the villain. It is. Yeah, there's just some fun stuff about it. It's great to play the good guy and that kind of thing, but playing a villain has a little bit of an extra feel to it. I like what you did with her voice, too, where you made yourself seem older and a bit more, with a bit more presence. When I purposely wasn't looking at you when you were delivering some of your lines, and if I'm not looking at you and I'm just hearing you, I don't even recognize you. That doesn't sound like you. Did a really nice job with that.
Thank you.
I'm happy.
Yeah, so going off of what Michelle said, last year I played Amy March in The Little Women, and it was very different. She was this like little kid that was just bratty, and she pretty much ruined like her sister's life. So this year transforming into somebody that's like this nice and like ditzy character, it was definitely a lot different.
I noticed right away with you, you put a lot of facial expressions into her deliveries and stuff. And I think that helps, especially if you're not changing your voice much, if the character doesn't ask for you to change the voice much, how do you separate yourself to the character? One of the ways is doing that is facial expressions, different things. I could see that you're already doing that. I'm blown away by the talent level of you guys, first off. I got to tell you that right away. That's very cool to see you guys. Very, very cool to see. So we have a couple, like another scene or two to do. Do we have, because we got about 5 minutes left, so we could probably fit two more scenes in if you guys want, if you got room for it.
So we do have a song.
Ooh, all right.
It's going to be a little bit awkward probably because it's going to be a cappella. We don't have any music.
Yeah, feel free on that.
But we are going to do Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Cool.
Yeah, so just bear with me here.
Oh, I appreciate it.
The music is a lot of it, so yeah. Just bear with me a little bit here. Okay. I'm going to start with the line. Okay. Help you, my dear sweet child. It's what I live for. To help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True? Yes. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, the lonely, and depressed. Pathetic, poor unfortunate souls, in pain, in need. This one longing to be thin, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice, someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls. Here's my best offer, babykins. I know a spell that will turn you into a human for 3 days. Now, it's got a procedural clause, sort of a squid pro quo. Before the sun sets on the third day, you've got to get dear old Princey to kiss you. If you do, you'll stay human forever.
And if I don't?
Nothing drastic, darling, I'm sure. Oh, look, small print. Your soul is mine forever, and you're doomed to spend eternity in my watery, hell-soaked lair. Lawyers, don't you just love 'em? Of course, there is one more thing. My fee.
But I don't have anything.
I'm not asking for much. Only your voice.
My voice?
Don't worry. I have the perfect place for it. Your grandpappy Poseidon gave his magic trident to your father. But this was his gift pour moi.
Your magic shell?
You've heard about it?
Father says it's the source of all your witchcraft.
Nonsense, darling.
He says you die without it.
Die? Oh, please. It's a bauble, a vessel for your voice. Trust me, darling, your vibrato, your legato, even your belt, they'll all be safe and sound in here.
If I give away my voice, how can I ever...
You'll have your looks. Your pretty face. And don't underestimate the power of body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle platter for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they don't it's when I fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead, make your choice. I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul. It's sad, but true. If you want to cross the bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath. Go ahead and sign the scroll. Flotsam jetsam, now I've got her, girls. The boss is on a roll. You poor unfortunate soul.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done. I could not do that. I could not do that. I've been acting a long time, and I couldn't have pulled off what you guys said. That was awesome. That
Thank
was
you.
Really, really. This is going to be such a dang good show. I cannot encourage people enough to check this out. I'll give them the details of the show real quick. The last thing, one of the tougher things I'm going to ask of you today, say hi to your family. Say hi to your loved ones, your parents. Say hi to them, and thank your mom and dad if you want to. If you want to go down the line here and go ahead and do that, please feel free to. Simon, you can start.
I just want to thank my mom and dad for supporting me, even though it's a bit of a time taxer, I guess. And that they're just always there for me. They got my back, and I know that I can count on them no matter what.
Right on.
I actually have quite a few people to thank, but I wanted to thank Denise Severson and her husband Gary for our costumes, Lisa Rouse and her son Zach for our stage and our set design, Zach Olson for our lighting and sound engineer, Sasha Anderson, Emma's wonderful mother, for choreography and musical mom support, Olivia Voy for our photography, Connie and Tim Shannon, Michelle's wonderful parents, and the Nakusa Music Parents Association for our meals of support, Marcus Wilcox and the NHS Tech Ed Department for our props and sets, that's my older brother, and most importantly, thank you to WFHR for your wonderful support. I did want to thank my parents as well, and also our wonderful director and co-director, Miss G, and Mr. Seipel.
Nicely done.
Yes, so you heard my parents mentioned. I would like to thank them especially. They've gained a lot of emotional support for me because, you know, Ursula's kind of a intimidating role. Mm-hmm. So a lot of emotional support goes into that. So I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank my friends for always believing me into doing this part. I really like to thank them for that.
Very cool.
I would just like to thank my mom for being part of the musical journey with me. And then I would also like to thank and say hi to Nana and Eli, because last time I was on here, they were not very happy that I didn't say hi to them. So
it's a smart kid right there. It's smart to remember that. You guys are going to do such a great job. Break a leg. Have a fun time. Enjoy the run. The support that you're showing for each other. Emma moved the mic over for her to be able to sing a little bit better, and I thought that was such a nice thing, and it just shows how much you guys are pulling for each other and, you know, looking out for each other. And that's going to make an amazing show and a memorable experience that you guys remember for many, many, many years. Have a great time. This show is taking place on Friday, March 17th. Check out Nakusa High School's The Little Mermaid. Again, Friday, March 17th at 7 o'clock. Saturday, March 18th, they'll have a matinee at 2 and a show at 7. Tickets are just $10. You can get them at ShowTix4U. That is ShowTix4U. For you, the number 4 in there, so showtix4u.com, or you can get them day of the show at the NHS office. Be sure to take in this show. It'll be at Nakusa High School at the auditorium at 500 Cedar Street in beautiful Nakusa, Wisconsin. Have a great run, you guys. Enjoy your time, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Taking it to the street.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 35, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows dip down to about 19. Cloudy skies tomorrow, chance for snow, daytime highs approaching 33. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this March 10th, 2023. It is 10:35 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We are joined right now by Megan Winant. She is the Sandhill Wildlife Area, from the Sandhill Wildlife Area. Megan is the Meadow Valley Property Supervisor for the Department of Natural Resources over there. Did I get that right, Megan?
Yeah, the title's a little bit confusing, right? Mm-hmm. So I am the Property Supervisor for the Sandhill Meadow Valley Work Unit, and essentially that means I oversee Sandhill Wildlife Area, Meadow Valley Wildlife Area, and Wood County Wildlife Area.
Oh, that's all.
Lots of land. So much public land to play on out in central Wisconsin.
Seems like a lot of area to cover. That's pretty cool. And I was telling Megan in our break here, we just don't get a chance to talk Sandhill and Sandhill Valley very often. It's so nice to be able to touch on this subject and to get into this. And I thought we could have, maybe we could start with a brief mention of the organization of the WDNR.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't need to get into the nitty gritty of, you know, state government organization. That's probably not everyone's favorite topic, but I thought it was worth a mention just to kind of help folks understand the difference between state parks and wildlife areas, because I do think there's a lot of confusion there. Mm-hmm. And so the way I see wildlife areas, one of the key differences, they are managed by the Bureau of Wildlife Management, but we do fall within that division of fish, wildlife, and parks. So state parks and wildlife areas are within the same division. But wildlife areas do tend to offer a bit of a more rustic, off-the-beaten-path kind of outdoor experience compared to state parks. Hmm. So you're not going to see necessarily the same amenities that you might find at a state park. Hmm. And they really do offer, you know, this opportunity to get outside and immerse yourself in nature and perhaps not see quite as many people while doing so.
Yes. That so it's cool to, it's kind of, it's a great way to start this and kind of understanding the differentials. I don't think a lot of us may have understood the differences between the two. Mm-hmm. Sandhill, WA is a part of the Sandhill Meadow Valley Work Unit, which is also includes Wood County and Meadow Valley Wildlife Areas.
Absolutely. Yep. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the great staff that I work with and have the pleasure of supervising, that we not only manage everything that's happening at Sandhill, which is the property of the three that we supervise, mm-hmm. that probably does get the most public use and has more diversity and recreational, you know, opportunities. But we are managing just about 90,000 acres as a team. So we have a biologist on staff, three full-time technicians, and now an educator. So we're doing a lot of work out there, and we're hoping folks come out and enjoy and, you know, see what we're up to.
Let's talk about the Sandhill Wildlife Area. Let's talk about that area and what kind of opportunities there are for people to, you know, take in that beautiful area and enjoy some Mother Nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sandhill is unique in that it does have a pretty rich history. So I think the first thing most folks notice when they come to Sandhill is that it's enclosed in this 9-foot-tall fence, right? And they can see that fence and they might think, well, that's intimidating. I'm not supposed to be there. Mm. But I'm here to ensure you are supposed to to be there. We want you there. So the question always comes up of why is that fence there? So just a brief nod to the history of the property. Wallace and Hazel Grange purchased tax delinquent land back in the 30s and ultimately turned it into a game farm. And so because it was a game farm, they had it enclosed with a fence. The state purchased the property from the Granges in 1962, thus transferring it, you know, and creating the wildlife area for public use. So part of that agreement is that the state was going to continue to manage the property as a research and demonstration area, and then also keep the northern half of the property as a wildlife refuge. And so even though we're, you know, out of the time restraints of that contract, we continue to manage the property in that way. So Sandhill is a very unique wildlife area too. So as I was speaking to the differences between wildlife areas and state parks, Sandhill actually kind of walks the line a little bit closer to the state park aspect because of the unique things we can do there.
It's a unique story too.
Yes,
beautiful is that story to think that, and even with the time restraints being left, still continuing on that legacy. Like that's a beautiful thing, and it's one of those things that even if you're listening to us in the northern part of the state or the southern part of the state, you don't even spend much time here. That benefits you. That literally affects all of us and helps all of us with this. That's a cool thing. That's such a cool legacy.
And there is actually a historic cabin that the Grange is built on the property, and we are in the process of creating an interpretive trail with signage that will hopefully be up this spring. So if you are someone interested in history, come on out and check that out. There's so much to do on the property. Can I go into the Trumpeter Trail?
Please do,
So the Trumpeter Trail is the other premier feature of the property. It's a 14-mile auto tour route. So it does require you to come and open that large vehicle gate, drive in, and close it behind you. But just driving on that trail allows you to see all the different types of habitat that we manage. So the property is primarily wetlands, forest, and some barrens. And then there's all kinds of recreational opportunities and things to see along the way as well.
There's a kiosk with maps and brochures if you haven't been in that area before to kind of help you navigate.
Correct. Yes. So when you first get to that gate, again, don't be intimidated. There's a kiosk there. It has brochure holders with maps of the property. We also have some educational information and self-guided activities that you can take with you. So fun things like scavenger hunts or even just educational information about the habitat management that we do. And then, come on in. As you're driving through that Trumpeter Trail, we do have a bison herd. That is certainly a highlight as well. We have observation towers. We have 5 hiking trails and tons of opportunity just to view wildlife, observe things.
If you ever get the chance to watch bison roaming, I'm a city boy, so a lot of this stuff is always cool to me. I see a bird and it flips me out, you know, let alone something like this. But to see those bison roaming and moving like they did, I've never seen anything like that. I was in a tower just looking down, and my goodness, I'm just thinking about it just now. It was like 10 years ago, and it just hits you.
It's a great experience,
really,
right? Just to feel a part of nature in that way. And Sandhill offers that, right? Come on out. We have the observation tower. You can get up, hopefully a little bit from above. Of course, we can't always dictate where the bison are going to hang out in the pasture. But we did try to improve that by adding what we're calling the bison byway. So we did a little spur route off of the main auto tour route to just allow the public a greater access to the pasture area to hopefully increase the opportunity of seeing the animals.
That's smart. That's really cool. I did want to mention, too, if you are looking to take Trumpeter Trail, is that something you need to register to do?
Nope, you can show up and just sign the registration book, so it's not a pre-registration in any way. It's just signing the log. But I should note, probably now is a great time, that it is open seasonally to vehicles. So dependent on road conditions, and right now winter came back, so I don't know how that's going to affect us. But we always target mid-April for opening or unlocking those vehicle gates for the public use. So look towards mid-April to be able to bring vehicles in, and then we do lock those vehicle gates late October, early November. That correlates with when we do our Learn to Hunt Deer event on the property. But just a heads up, seasonally now in the winter, you can still access the property just through 2 walking gates. You just can't drive your own vehicles in because the roads are a mess and you wouldn't want to.
We are speaking with Megan Winett from Sandhill, from the Sandhill Valley, and we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back because I was looking ahead at some of the things we're talking about, and I'm very excited to talk about them. We'll be talking more with Megan in just a moment here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
We're not comfortable until you are. That's why City Services. Tri-City Services is proud to celebrate their 78th anniversary, and they want to share the celebration with you. For a limited time, Tri-City Services is offering an early bird AC tune-up for just $78. That's right. Keep yourself cool this summer and save some money while you're at it. But that's not all. If you're in the market for a new system, Tri-City Services has a deal for you. Purchase a new system from Tri-City Services and receive $780 off, which could qualify you for up to $1,300 in energy savings through Wisconsin Focus on Energy. Celebrate with Tri-City Services by taking advantage of our AC tune-up and system deals. Visit Tri-City Services website at calltricity.com and call 715-423-5840 to schedule your tune-up. Tri-City Services, serving our community for 78 years and counting.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance of snow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 19. Tonight, overcast. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow, chance for snow. Daytime highs approaching 33. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine. Thank you very much to Jennifer and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We are sitting back with Megan Winett from Sandhill Valley, and we're just talking a little bit about the great things that they have over there. And I just wanted to real quickly give Megan a shout out here, because you had a hard act to follow. Those kids are she's out there listening to these kids singing and everything, and you haven't done radio before, and to walk into that, like, you're killing it. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I'm not going to sing.
Oh. See, that's I was setting you up to sing. I thought you were going to do a song. This is your big moment. No. Yeah,
don't
I can't
have
sing
it in
either.
Me.
Yeah, me neither. Don't worry, but we're in good company. We have been talking about some of the activities and some of the things that you can take in over the Sandhill Wildlife Area. There's so much beauty, so much to take in over there. I know we've touched on a handful of these things. Do you mind going over just a handful of other maybe that things can do on the auto tour route?
Yeah, absolutely. So along that auto tour route, there are places to, you know, pull over and watch wildlife. I'd say that's what a lot of folks are coming to do. Is just wildlife viewing, photography, bird watching, of course, coming specifically to see the bison. We do have those observation towers, one overseeing the bison pasture and a second looking over the Gallagher Marsh, which is the largest marsh and wetland on the property. So it is a great place to come and observe sandhill cranes as well. So especially come fall, right, you know, during that peak migration time, we get them by the thousands. So it's astonishing if that's something you've never seen.
They're such beautiful birds.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. Oh. And actually just heard the first, I think it was late last week. So they're coming back. Spring is coming.
Wow.
Even with the snow. So, so hiking is popular. Bicycles can be ridden. They are allowed on any roads that are open to vehicle traffic. So that Trumpeter Trail is absolutely something you can bring your bike in on as well. In the winter, of course, when you access through that walking gates, you can be snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, you name it. A lot of folks are kind of picking up and catching on that it's a good place to come and forage for, you know, wild edibles.
Yeah.
Mushroom hunting is popular. And of course, this time of year, lots of folks out there looking for shed antlers.
Yes.
So all kinds of recreational opportunities, you know, coming up here this spring as well. And then fall will bring a whole nother set of things, such as hunting, which we can talk about more.
Yeah, because, I mean, while everything we've touched on is all great and there's so many wonderful things, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the hunting and the fishing that goes on over there, another big part of what people love about that area.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, Sandhill is a little bit unique from other wildlife areas, so we are able to set our own hunting seasons. So hunting seasons look a little bit differently at Sandhill, and we do have special permits. So small game hunts, waterfowl hunts, so things like waterfowl, obviously, grouse, woodcock, rabbit, squirrel. You just come to the property and grab a little permit registration tag at our what we call hunt shack, and that serves as your registration for the day. And we just collect some additional information to help manage those hunts. So we're looking at hunter effort versus success rate, things like that.
That kind of thing is really vital to helping the DNR, helping the state really understand population control, so many other things.
Yep, for sure. And then deer hunts do look a little different on the property as well. So Sandhill is not open to the typical 9-day gun season. We do have very specific managed hunts. So we are continuing to hold what we call the Learn to Hunt Deer program. So that is for youth hunters age 12 to 15, and then first-time adult hunters. So 16 and older would be considered our adults, and you need to have never hunted deer with a gun previously to be able to participate in that program. We have workshops then as part of that program, which will be held in August, and then the hunt will be early November, and we hope to have applications out for that by June. So keep an eye on our website. It's always fun to chat with the hunters and their chaperones the day of those hunts and hear all the stories of, you know, all the generations past that have come of, oh, my grandparents brought me here, or my father brought me here, or my mom brought me here. So it's really cool to see that, and it's really great to see the kids get so excited to have that opportunity.
It's such a handed down tradition, and being able to do that and then having a program available for people as well is really nice too. I know that we can never have too much of that. So that's really cool to hear.
Yeah. And I think another great thing about it, you know, I know there are families and adults out there who haven't been, you know, engaged in that hunting culture. And we do have the opportunity to set you up with a chaperone as well. So if you're someone who didn't come from a hunting family, we can help connect you with a chaperone if you're interested in participating in that event.
Another thing that is one of those handed down traditions, and one that I don't know too much about, is trapping. And there's a managed trapping program, I understand.
Absolutely. Yep. So we hope to have those applications out by August-ish. And we do open up the property then to trapping, and we, you know, divide it into compartments and assign everyone a certain location so, you know, everyone's not tripping over one another. Mm-hmm. But another great opportunity that comes along with a workshop.
And speaking of workshops and events, you guys do a lot of this over there. I really thought I understood the area, and I didn't need to do too much homework. I understand Sandhill and all this. I needed to do some homework because you guys have a lot more things. And I would say it's maybe been a couple months, maybe a year since I've been on the website and I've really checked things out. And it's grown. There's so many other great things for people.
Yeah, we are really excited to be able to expand some of our educational opportunities and workshops. And that really came with the ability to hire an educator. So the property had been without an educator for some time, but now that we have someone in place, so shout out to Quinn, he's doing a great job. We have a number of workshops lined up. So this weekend, actually, there is one on wildlife research and telemetry, and I believe there are still spaces available.
Cool.
So that is tomorrow. If you're interested, get on our website. All the correct information you're going to need to register is there. We have an open house coming up that we partner with our friends group, so the Friends of Sandhill. Great opportunity if you've never been to the property to have that introduction. The focus is going to be on birds, and we're going to actually have live bird presentations from the Raptor Education Group up in Antigo. They're going to come down. We'll also be doing some property tours, as long as weather cooperates, on a wagon, and kind of get you out and, you know, tell you a little bit about the work we do on the property. But yeah, coming up throughout the year, we've got scheduled for the year already on the website. You know, we're looking at things like Dutch oven cooking and a wild edibles hike and a night skies program,
which
I think is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
This area is perfect for dark night skies.
It's when I first moved to this area, I was in Rome. And the sky at night in Rome is like nothing I had ever seen. And then still, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's amazing. It's beautiful. I moved here from a city as well. And so it's great.
It really
is.
One
of the perks.
Yeah.
But yeah, all kinds of things. We're doing walking stick workshops, so come make your own walking stick. Learn to geocache, so a geocaching 101. We're going to partner with our R3 program to do a learn to fish. We're going to have a bike tour. all kinds of things on top of those hunting and trapping opportunities we already spoke about.
We were just talking city life a little bit there, so I have to share this real quick because I have never been freaked out by an animal or an insect in my life. The only time it has ever happened to me when I first moved here, and I thought there's this stick on the like, how is that stick on the the ceiling there? I don't get that. And I go to touch it and moved. It freaked me. I must have jumped like 50 feet. I've never seen anything like that. It's the only thing, the only insect that has ever freaked me out is seeing a walking stick.
That's funny.
Now it's not so much, but I mean, when they're fascinating. See that, they are really interesting. They are really cool creatures. One of the these are all incredible things what we've been able to talk about and discuss today. And Megan, one of the things that I appreciate about all of these things is that the core of this is a effort to keep this area alive and well and healthy, certainly for us, but for our kids, kids, kids. The old adage, the old proverb, I think it's a Native American actually quote of, we don't plant trees for us to see them. We plant them for our kids to see them. That's a big part of what's going on over there. And what, you know, we want to hunt, we want to fish, we want to be able to take in the trails and watch the bison and all these things. So that comes with a responsibility on all of us, not just the gang and the guys, the people that are working over there. I think it's on all of us to keep that area healthy and going. So what are ways that we can support Sandhill?
Thank you for asking. Of course, we want to get folks out there, right? Yeah. We want to show off this property that we all have become very passionate about and really love to put our efforts into. So multiple ways to support. Just coming to visit is one. And when you do come visit, make sure you're filling out the information at the kiosk. We like to learn about, you know, what are the activities folks are enjoying? Where should we focus some of our efforts? So come visit us, register for a workshop, come join a workshop. Those are great ways to support. But then there's also other things to do, like joining the Friends of Sandhill. So the Friends of Sandhill is an amazing organization. They're a nonprofit that was formed to support the property. They actually have a membership meeting coming up on March 18th. It will be out at Sandhill. So if it sounds like something you'd like to be interested or be included in or involved in, the Friends of Sandhill has their own website. They have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. And it is a great way to just show that you are engaged with the property.
And it's a great follow, by the way. It's a great follow. I encourage you to follow it.
Perfect. Happy to hear that. So they, you know, really do help support some of the recreational opportunities and educational opportunities on the property. And they also help out and do some trail clearing days. They helped refinish our picnic tables, you know, all kinds of just ways to stay involved. Cool. And we really appreciate having them.
Every little bit helps. It may not always seem like the biggest thing, but say you do some of those things there and that frees up Megan and the staff to be able to do other things. And it just all adds up.
It does. And so on that note, volunteers are something that would also love to see more of. We are trying to build a volunteer program. So, you know, we want to kind of highlight the things and the specific tasks that we could use help with and, you know, kind of ask the public, ask the community, do you have these skills and is it something you're interested in?
I'll tell you, this area loves to volunteer, loves to step up when these kind of things, and you tell them they can volunteer outdoors, oh yeah, you're going to get some volunteers. You're going to get some volunteers.
It's a beautiful office. Let's say that.
Right? Well, that's good.
And then, of course, donations, if you are so inclined. So the property does primarily, you know, get its funding through the Pittman Robertson Fund. So that's an excise tax on ammo, archery supplies, and then of course hunting license, you know, firearms as well. So if you are not someone who is hunting, you can also make donations just right there on the property. We have a donation box at the kiosk.
As we're wrapping up, I did want to touch on one last thing, because you guys do some incredible research out there as well. And I know we don't have a ton of time to dive too deeply into it. Maybe next time we get together, because you did too good of a job, and you're going to have to come back.
I'd love to come back. It'd be great.
I do think that this is a really vital and cool and important part of what Sandhill does over there, the research that you guys are collecting.
For sure, yeah. So, you know, part of that designation of the research and demonstration area, we really want to make sure we're using the property for that reason. So one of the big projects that's happening now is in collaboration with the Office of Applied Science, which is part of the DNR, looking at deer, right? So we do have, if you're out there now, you're going to see some giant wooden boxes that are deer traps. So we are capturing and putting GPS collars and ear tags on deer, and also also a number of trail cameras on the property. And long story short, looking to see if we can use trail cameras to extrapolate deer populations at a larger scale. So using small scale population to, check that out, because you can obviously tell where the deer are based on their GPS collars, and you can look at the detection rate on cameras. So that's a really awesome, interesting project that's happening within the DNR. And then we do have a number of students who use the property for research as well. So UW-Madison students out there studying grouse and porcupines, and we've got UW-Stevens Point Wildlife Society students doing all kinds of projects, saw-whet owls, woodpeckers, all kinds of things. So it's really a great, interesting property, and absolutely encourage people to come check us out.
Really cannot stress that enough. We really encourage you to check this area out. If you haven't done so, or if it's been a while, get on over there. The websites that you website you mentioned about the DNR, dnr.wisconsin.gov is that website. dnr.wisconsin.gov is one of the websites you can go to find more information about this. And of course, the that'll take you to Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and be able to find out more. Megan, if people want to talk to you specifically or reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yep. I would say you can call me directly with general questions about the property, and my cell phone will be best. That is 715-315-0056.
And as she mentioned before, that Friends of Sandhill, that's a great follow. Be sure to follow that one. It's a really good one. And encourage you to do that. And we look forward to hanging out with you again. This was much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Appreciate the time. We'll talk again real soon.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you to everybody out there that listened in all week long. And, of course, every guest that joined us throughout this week. And I'd like to just take a moment and thank Pam Hilke, the heart of WFHR, and the great scheduling that she does in week in and week out for us. We'll have more and more Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM, where we are locally grown radio.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.